L'zeicher ul'ili nishmas, Mr. Avraham Marillis. Zichron Levracha, Mr. Marillis, I knew him over the years ago. It's his 20th yard site. His name is Avraham Moshe ben David. Okay, this is the brother. Mr. Marillis' brother. Yibod l'chaim tovim. And may his neshama have an aliyah. May the learning be l'zchus for the ilui of his neshama. He's buried here, not so far away, in on the Interboro, which Mount Hebron. Okay, it's not so far away. Actually, we once went there. Mayor once took me to the kever. We were once in the neighborhood. Mayor took me to the kever. I remember him very, very well. He lived over here around the corner on East 18th Street.
Who's this?
Mr. Marillis. Avi Marillis. My father, Zichron Levracha, would tell me a lot of stories about your brother from RJJ. I cannot repeat them here. It's his 20th yard site tomorrow, and again, he's a Shem Halvin Aliyah. A lichtige Gan Eden. Okay, this week's parasha begins with the death of Sarah. Vayu chaye Sarah me'ashana ve'esmishana. And it ends pretty much with the death of Avraham Avinu. It's a very sad parasha. It's sandwiched in death. The death of Sarah Imenu and the death of Avraham Avinu. Why did Sarah die? What was the trigger of her petira? So it's a very interesting Rashi. Everyone knows the Rashi. Pasuk Rashi writes here, Bekiryas Arba, further down, Listboy L'Sarva L'Vkoysa, the Nismicha Misa Sara La Akedas Yitzlak. The end of Parshas Vayera is the Akeda. What is the juxtaposition, the significance of this juxtaposition between Vayera and the Misa of Sara? Lefi Sha'al Yidei Besoras Ho Akeda, the announcement of the Akeda, that there was an Akeda, Shenizdamein Bina L'Shchita, that her son was designated, was prepared for the slaughter, uchimat sheloy nishchat, and he was just about slaughtered. He was a moment before a ma'at sheloy nishchat. It's very hard words to translate. Just about ready to be slaughtered. It was the second before the slaughter actually took place. Vayikach Avraham esam, vayishlach Avraham es yado. After that, Soif Pasuk is when she died. Vayishlach Avraham es Samacheles Lishchoit Bino. I can't remember the Pasuk well. Right after it said that Pasuk, when she heard that it was that close, before the Malach came and said, Vayom Hashem el Avraham al Tishlach Yodcha Lanav Yal Tasle Mu'uma. At that moment, chamat sheloy nishchat, parcha nishmasa mimena umesa. Her neshama departed. It flew away from her, and she passed away. Umesa. You can be medayt, you can play with every single word in this Rashi, as many have, and books and svarim and encyclopedia. You'll be malaki from all of the svarim of every darshan, every mechadesh, what they have said about this Rashi, and nibble away at every letter, every prefix, every nekuda, and the selection of the words and how these words were crafted. We would be here for years trying to analyze what exactly over here is going on in this Rashi. Everyone is a little bit bewildered. What exactly is Rashi trying to say? And why Taka, what happened, number one? And what is Rashi trying to say in these words? So let us add some more fuel to the fire. Let us discuss this at length. I want to make one point. It could be I once told you this point, maybe not in the Friday shiur in different contexts, but I want to say it over a little bit differently now, a little bit more refined. And there's a halacha that most people do not know. I didn't know the halacha. I totally forgot about it. Maybe once I learned it, I totally forgot about it. But it's a ferish pasuk. It's a very basic halacha. And it's really shocking that I think most people just don't know this halacha. It's a halacha that's like totally lost. We lay in every yomtiv, shor oy chesev, oy eiz, ki yivoleit. Beginning of the landing in Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor. We lain shor an axe or a sheep, ki yivoleit. And the pasuk says it shall be with its mother for 7 days. And on the eighth day, it's eligible to be a karmad. Okay, I'll actually look at the pasuk. Give me one moment to find the pasuk. Parshas Emor, right before we said, Perek Chav Zayin. Chav Beis, Chav Zayin. Okay, Chav Beis, Chav Zayin. Shor oy chesef oy eiz ki yivoleid v'choya, it shall be shivas yomim tachas yivoleid. Umiyoy mashin v'chola yerot se, it's now acceptable l'korban, l'korban yishel Hashem. Rashi, let's see if Rashi makes mention over here. Okay, pasik chavav, no, Rashi over here. There is no Rashi, in fact, on the entire pasik. Very interesting. But there's a Gemara, there's a lot of Gemara on this, and the Gemara is in this, and the Masech Tachulin, the Gemara says, tachas imoy, Parat liyosoim. Did you know that bizman shebeis hamigdash yakayim, if you want to bring an animal as a korban, if the animal does not have a mother, if you cannot identify it has a mother, you cannot bring it as a korban. The animal, when it comes to the mizbeach, has to come with a note from its mother. I give permission for the baby to go to the altar. Salacha. Prat liyosim. If an animal's mother died in childbirth, or the animal's mother died, some accident happened, and now the baby is 8 days old, and its mother died, it is not eligible to be offered on the Mizbeach as a korban. Prat liyosem, it's a drosha. Tachas imoy, prat liyosem. What's the lumdis? What's the lumdis of why the Torah should know? When we say yosem by an animal, obviously yosem by an animal, Chazal says mother. There's no such thing as a father by an animal, because you don't know who the father is. Okay, it's hit and run. There's no father, but a mother is. What's the pshat? Try to be masbir. You know, I know halacha doesn't follow reason, but let's try to understand, let's try in our own minds to understand why the Torah would want there to be such a halacha that an animal that goes on the mizbeach must have a mother. And it's very simple. If the animal doesn't have a mother, then the animal doesn't have any value in life. The animal is depressed. The animal is a yosem. An animal, the moment it comes into this world, has the encouragement, has the ultimate fan. A mother is rooting for the good and welfare of the child. Every person knows that there's no one in their whole world that cares about you like your mother. When the Kohen Gadol, someone was in the Ari Miklat, who was the one that brought food? Who was the one that went around to bring food to the people in the Ari Miklat? That they should not, their son, that the Kohen Gadol should not die. Don't daven too hard. Don't daven that the Kohen Gadol should die so you can get out of here. Who would you expect? The Kohen Gadol's wife. My wife, right? Don't you think a good wife? A good wife would go to the Ari Miklat and give out candy? Don't daven that my husband, what?
Children.
The children? Right? Don't you think that the Kohen Gadol, his children, his wife, his good chaverim, you have good chaverim, right? You go to the Ari Miklat to give them goodies. Don't daven that our friend should die. They couldn't kill us. Couldn't kill us. Daven all you want. Okay, it's like someone, that video that people send around is that a guy comes, a hold of the guy, there's a husband and a wife, and bank robbers walk into the bank, stick him up, and they grab this woman around her neck. Anyone here moves, I kill her. And the husband says, what's the problem here? What's the problem? You didn't see that video? Starts dancing around. Okay, you've seen it all. you haven't, contact me. We'll enlighten you. The wife doesn't come. The children, who comes? The mother. No one cares about you like your mother. As long as there's a mother, you're in a very different frame of mind. And if Rachmanu Litzlan, the mother is no longer here, it's a different life. No one is rooting for me. No one really cares about me. What's life? Who cares about me? Here today, gone tomorrow. I'm just in the way. I'm just a burden upon society. I have nothing to live for. That's not the type of korban Hashem wants. Hashem wants on the Mizbeach a korban, an animal that wants to live, that values life. You're giving to Hashem life. Isn't that, korban is bizarre. I'm not coming out to explain. I don't know. No one knows what korban is all about. No one. Who are we fooling? No one today understands what is the purpose of a korban. No one knows. What's this all about? Give a korban. What value is there to Hashem giving a korban? Whatever it is. But one thing is for sure. You give Hashem life. Here's life. I'm giving you a gift of life. I'm going to give you this life to Hashem. Well, the life has to be a quality life. If the life is a depressed, tzibrochana animal that has really no desire to live, it's already dead. Don't give me dead animals. Don't put carcasses on the Mizbeach. Give me a creature that wants to live. It's a halacha. Do you know this halacha? I never knew this halacha. Tachas imoy prat liyosoim. It's the Farish of Gemara. An animal that does not have a mother is not fit to go on the Mizbeach. Because animal doesn't have a mother, life is anyway nothing, worthless. What would have been if Sarah Imenu would have died before the Maisa Akeda? Let's say she would have died when she was 120, it's a nice number. No one have any complaints. If she would have been 120, she's 127 years old. Seven. That's a funny number. That's not a normal number. She died 120. Oh, very nice. Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hayu Yom of May of the Esrim. We all pat ourselves on the back. Look at that. Sorry, Meinu. You see, Maisa Tzadikim, 120 years old. We would all be very happy. A Yitzchak? Listen, Yitzchak at 120 is a 30-year-old man. You know, 30 years old. What do you expect? Your parents don't live forever. You're 30 years old. You're a mature person. Your parents only had you when I was 100 years old. Your mother was 90 years old. I mean, what do you expect? Everything is fine. Well, I mean, that's life. Well, what's wrong? You get over it. He's an Avelis for a year. Get back to life. We wouldn't have even blinked. You know something? Yitzchak would be possible for a carbon. Because the Pasuk says, Tachas imay prat liyosayim. Even if he's 30 years old and he doesn't have a mother, it's not the same. Everyone here in this room knows that. Even though a person has built their own family, they have a wife and children, Ein doime having parents to not having parents. If you have parents, you have authentic fans, people that are rooting for you for real, sincerely, no ulterior motives. If Sarah Imenu would have died before the Akeda, Yitzchak would be a very successful, happy person. But his pasul lekarbon gzeros hakosef tachas imoy prat liyosayim. Because there's a part of Yitzchak that dies when Sarah dies. It's just not the same. My she'ifos in life, to succeed, to be happy, to want to live life to its fullest, it's not the same. It can be very, very good, very, very high. When you have a mother, it's different. Now, we come to this Rashi. Sarah Imenu is not like the average person. Sarah Imenu is here to serve. Like we learned yesterday, I'm here to serve. And the highest exalted level of being a servant to Hashem. Sarah Imenu must be, she must have had a sense that the tafkid of Yitzchak is to go to the Akedah. Hashem gave her a child, and the tafkid of his life is he is going to sanctify Hashem al Kiddush Hashem. That's what Yitzchak is. Yitzchak is we learn about Kiddush Hashem, the whole Klal Yisrael, the Holocaust. Rachmanu Litzlan, what happened? Where do we trace? The Akedah. Kiddush Hashem, to die al Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak, This is Yitzchak. This is what his contribution to Klal Yisrael. Sara Imenu is raising the person who will contribute to Klal Yisrael the principle of Kiddush Hashem. Yitzchak is posel for Kiddush Hashem if Sara Imenu dies. Sara Imenu must be alive at the moment when he's taken to the Akedah. So let's look at the story. The Satan comes and says, Sara, I got a story to tell you like you're not going to believe. Hashem says to your husband, Lech lecha, kach lecha, es bincha, es yichidcha, asher haft es Yitzchak. And he's telling her the story. What happened? And he's telling her they went, Vayaras magomei rochoik, and they saw the place. And Avraham said to Eliezer and Yishmael, Shvulchem poyim achamar, Vaniva hanar neuchad koi, and they go. And Yitzchak, and Avraham, he takes the macheles. The whole story, where's the seh le'oila? You're the seh. Vayelchus shnem yachtov. They go, he picks him up, he ties him down. Vayakeid Avraham es benoi. He picks up the knife, the macheles. Lishchoit es benoi. Lishchoit es benoi. He's now ready to be slaughtered. Sara Imenu says to the Satan, stop! I don't need to know what happens next. It's not necessary for me to know what happens. Whether he was slaughtered, or whether he was not slaughtered. I'm not upset. I'm not dying out of panic. I'm not fainting. I'm not dying because my son is now on the altar. The knife is in the hand of my husband. He's now about to move the blade over his neck. And I'm alive. Yitzchak now is lying on the Akedah. He wants to live. You know why he wants to live? Because I'm alive. Because he knows that he has a mother that cares about him. Tachas imoy. Prat liyosoim. That's it. I have achieved my tafkid in life. It's not relevant. It's not important to know what happens next. It doesn't matter. He is slaughtered. He's not slaughtered. Right now is the moment of slaughter. And he has a mother. I'm here. I'm his fan. I have achieved my tafkid. And now I can leave. It's irrelevant what happens. He did the shechita, he didn't do the shechita, all these cheshbonos. What was his chait? I didn't raise him. When I raised him, I didn't do enough that he went through. No, that's not the point. The point is there's a halachic in Yisoid. Tachas imoy vol prat liyosan. In order for a person to be alive, you have to have a mother. You have a mother, you have a fan, you have someone rooting for you. And if you're going to give your life up to Hashem, you got to give the full life. For him to give his full life, I have to be alive. I'm alive at that moment in time. I've achieved my purpose in this world to bring into this world Yitzchak, who will be give over to Klal Yisrael the limud, the yisoid of Kiddush Hashem. I'm done. What happens next is just not relevant. There's no cheshbonos, all this drush. Pashat halacha with a hashkafa, with a purity of intent of what your purpose in life is. Kimat sheloi nishchat. That's all I need to know. I'm done. I have served my mission to fruition, to completion. Mission accomplished. And now I can return my neshama to the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I want to play a game with you. Make it more dramatic. More dramatic, okay? It's a simple idea. We have over here Mr. Heshi Orgenbaum, one of the biggest fundraisers for Klal Yisrael.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You just said, that Rashi...
Is what?
That was the Avraham Hesped.
That was the Hesped. That was the Hesped. Ein Achanami. Okay, I want to play a game with you. All of you should make believe that you're billionaires. Why make believe, right? Why make believe, okay? It's true, Yaakov. And I'm a schnorrer, which I am. coming to collect some money from billionaires. Here's my drasha. Of all the biggest billionaires in the room. And here a shnora is coming to ask you to give big, big money for any cause you can imagine. And here's my speech. In this week's parasha, fundraising appeal, my drasha. In this week's parasha, Eliezer comes to the well, and who does he meet by the well? Rivka. And we go to the whole story, and when the story is all over, he sees Rivka, he says, ah, you're the shidduch, let's close the deal, I want to give you some gifts. What is the gift? Let me find the pasuk. Vayikach ho'eved asara, no, that's the wrong pasuk. Second.
53.
You can't prepare today. You see this? He knows chapter and verse by heart. 53. This guy's unbelievable. He knows chapter and verse by heart. That is the pasuk, but it's not the pasuk I'm referring to. Pasuk of Beis. This is the part. The other part is also correct. It's a different possible. We'll talk about Nezem Zahav, a gold ring, a nose ring. A Nezem, a very bizarre gift to give a collar, right? When was the last time you saw flap? You have to change flap. You have to put in or put there an end somewhere. Who pays for the nose ring? Okay? The Nezem Zahav. Wow. Look at the wedding pictures. Could you imagine the wedding pictures? She would be banned today. Nezem Zahav, a gold nose ring, Beka Mishko. I have no idea what is a Beka. It's a weight. It's some type of weight. It weighs. Beka Lago Goyles, a Beka. It's a weight. How is it translated into pounds, into ounces? And I have no idea. Okay. What else did he give her? He gave her Shnei Tzimidim Al Yodecha. He gave her two bracelets on her hand. In each one was Asara Zahav, together it was Asara Zahav Mishkola. What's the symbolism of giving her a nose ring? It's Beka Mishkoloi. And what's the symbolism of giving her two bracelets, which are 10 gold coins? Rashi on this pasuk says, Beka Remez, Beka Lishikle Yisrael, the Machtzis HaShekel. Beka La Gulgoyles. I thought also, Rashi doesn't say this, but you would say, a bikias hayam. Nowhere in Chamishu Chumshei Torah does it say the word kriyas yamsuf. Nowhere. It's called vayiboku hamayim. The water split. A machzis hashekel is where you split the coin into two parts. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says, beka lagol goyles, but the word beka also relates to the splitting. By Yiboku Hamayim, a coin is split into two parts. Fine. So when it says over here the nose ring, was a Beka Mishkolo. This is being Merame, that from you will come out children one day that will give every year for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, they will give Machtzis HaShekel. What else? Ushnei Tzimidim. Remez Lushnei Luchais Mitzumadois. The Luchais. Your descendants will receive the luchos min hashamayim, and the luchos are going to be connected. You cannot have one tablet without the other. Asara zav mishkolam remez laseres hadibros shebochen is going to be 10 dibros. 10 dibros on the luchos. Okay, so look at that. He gave her two things, two symbolic things: a nose ring and bracelets. The nose ring is symbolic of machsa shekel to support the Beis HaMikdash. And the bracelets is symbolic of the luchas. Money and Torah. Kemach and Torah. All the farshim ask, don't you think the order should be reversed? If you're giving these two things so they're symbolic, you're giving Torah, and you're giving what represents money, there's going to be mach sashekel. So what's more, if you were writing this pasuk, you would put, I gave her two bracelets, 10 shkolim, merameis in the aseres hadibros, Torah. And then, you know, emein kemach in Torah. You got to, someone's got to pay the bills. So, I gave Klal Yisrael the koyach to be machshiv Torah. They're going to give machzis hashekel to support the Beis HaMikdash, to support the place where the luchos are stored. Right? So you would think that the proper order, we know we're in this world, the Icarus Torah, and secondary, someone's got to pay the bills. So then it's going to be Beka, Mishkoloi, Machs HaShekel to support the luchos. That's not what it says. It says, first he gave her money. Ah, cash is king. First is money. And after money, oh, Torah. This order of Eliezer is mamish kineged kol ha-Torah kul. Go in any, it's the Iker always is Torah, Torah, Torah. All brought up with that. What in the world is going on over here by putting the order in reverse? Everyone asked this kash. It's a very, very good question, and there's really I really don't have a good answer. The answer obviously is along the lines of im ein kemach, ein Torah. Okay, but still the order should be. Maybe this will slightly lighten the question. What I want to say now: why is it that the money has to be represented? Has to be symbolized. Why do we use a metaphor as a nose ring? Especially today's day and age, it's disgusting. A nose ring. And when it comes to the luchos, bracelets. Bracelets go on your arm, and a nose ring goes on your nose. Machzis HaShekel is in the nose, and the Torah is in your arms. My high. So, the fact that the bracelets are on the arms, that's not such a kasha, because what is Torah? What is Tayag Mitzvos? Instructions. V'chai bohem. Maisim. It's not enough in your head. You don't want you just to go and learn Torah the whole day. Godol limud, shemevi, lidei, maisa. Lasuke shmeitza, aliba, dehilchasa. You learn Torah to know what to do. What is the bottom line? To know how to... So it's, that makes a lot of good sense. That makes a lot of good sense. Torah, that luchos has to be in the arms. The bracelets is on your hands. On your hands. You do tayag mitzvahs. But what's this that the money, the beka lagol goyles, the machzis hashekel, which supports the Beis HaMikdash, why is that on the nose? And the answer is, the first time we find nose in the Torah is in regard to creation of man, okay? Vayibach b'yapav nishmas chayim, and the nashals, but with regard to Hashem, after the Mabul was over, and Noach, he offered a carbon, the Torah makes it very clear, Vayorach Hashem reyach nichoyach. In life, you can do a lot of things. But how many of those things in life do you really have satisfaction from? You can say, ah, this gives me nachas. It gives me satisfaction. Not so easy. You live a whole life, you run around the whole day, you do, you don't have a choice, you have to do this. How often do you have the satisfaction, ah, this gives me nachas ruach? Not so common. Vayorach Hashem es reyach anichoyach. Eliezer was teaching Klal Yisrael here an incredible limud musa. Klal Yisrael, through Rivka, is going to have the Torah. We're now building Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, where it all starts from, is now going to have a child. We're going to the next generation. We're going to go and have a Yaakov. We're going to have a Klal Yisrael. And we're going to receive the Torah. Torah needs support. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. You come and you raise money. Sometimes people, they give you millions of dollars. Very rarely. But who knows, sometimes you get lucky. You get a big, big donation. And when they give you the donation, sometimes they spit in your face. Yeah, here's the money. I don't have a choice. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Part of business, you gave for my cause, you gave to the museum, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. You gave to support some, who knows, some crazy mishigas, acknowledge gay rights. So I'm going to reciprocate with $1 million donation. And you get the better deal. You only gave me $500,000. I'm giving you $1 million. In fundraising, that happens quite a bit, right? You scratch my back, I scratch your back. But the people who are giving the money, do they really believe in this? They believe in Torah. They believe in Yerushalayim and Yados. They couldn't care less. It's just business. It's part of business. And sometimes there's outright animosity. And sometimes the money that's being given comes from sources that we're not very proud of. We're not very proud of that when a big movie star gives a large donation to a yeshiva. Where did he earn that million? Because he has done things on film in the entertainment industry, which is kineged kol hatoira kula, mitchiloso v'yatsof. Look, it's not for us, for the guy. For us, it's also. For them, it's mutter. You'll find for me 1,000 answers, and the truth is, that's the way we live. There's no denying it, and we take the money because we have no choice. That's the way we live in this world, whether you like it or not. You got to follow the rules, play the game, whether you like it or not. But when you sit back and you think about it, is this really correct? Is it really correct to milk out the government for every penny they got? Take taxpayer money and manipulate it and channel it for causes? The people who have earned this money work very hard and have to give away their tax money, do they really appreciate that even a penny of what they're giving is going to support an institution they don't hold from? That's the way it is. So our money also is going to support their institutions. I know all the answers. And we accept them and we live with them without any question, otherwise we wouldn't survive a day. That kachi darkoi shel olam, that's the way it's meant to be. But let me ask you, is there a nachas ruach? Can you say about this money, vayorach Hashem es reach hanichoyach, is the beka mishkoloi, which is the nose ring, which goes on the nose, is there going to be here vayorach Hashem reach nichoyach? No way. It's the way it is. We should just be happy that it doesn't stink. That it should smell good? That's too much to ask for. Just shouldn't have an odor. A fragrance? Fragrance? I'm not looking for fragrances. Just there shouldn't be odors. And if there's going to be an odor, at least it should be tolerable. It shouldn't be repugnant. So if you're all billionaires, and I'm coming to ask you for a donation, I only want your donations. I don't want a penny from you if the money is not given with the ultimate reach nichoyach. If the money that you give for you, this organization's make-believe campaign that I'm making, is not being given with the ultimate appreciation, recognition of the cause, the value, keep your money. I don't want a penny from you, because I know that in the end of the day, no success will come from such money. Chazal say, "Hanoitel pruta mi'iyov misparich." Iyov, Chazal say, was an equal almost to Avram Avinu in Yirah Shemayim. That's what it says. Pasuk can't deny what's in the pasuk. If Iyov, with someone, would come to the door and knock on his door and say, I have a tzetel here, everyone signed, can you give me some money? And Eve would give a penny. From that penny, this person would receive the ultimate blessing relative to going to the neighbor who gives him, here, you know, your lucky day, here's $50,000. Go back to Eretz Yisrael, I've given you more money than you collect in 10 years. I'll go back to Eretz Yisrael, the $50,000, nothing will come from it. Nothing. But if Eov give you a pruta, what's the difference? Because an Eov gave you the pruta, it was from the Nezem. The Nezem, Bekam Mishkoloi. It came with Vayorach Hashem Reach Nichoyach. It was kosher money. It was given with happiness. It was given because the giver appreciated and had value in the cause of this institution. It's given with oreach nichoyach, and then even a few dollars can go such a long way. You get a bang for your buck, gives new meaning what it means, a bang for your buck. Not just to take, you see an institution, they get millions of dollars, and what happened to all the money? What happened? The government gave you money. Where'd it go? I don't know. The money just disappeared somehow. This guy took some of it, this guy took some of it, and this guy took some of it, and the contractor whipped us off, and this contractor took the... just disappeared. Disappeared? $1 million just disappeared like that? Way to go. I don't know, just disappeared. And then you have a guy, they give you $25,000 donation, and that $25 donation, they built a palace. They built, they did accomplish things that no one even would believe. How did this happen? Ma'asim b'chol yom. What's the difference? Vayorach Hashem Reach Nichoyach. When the money is given, the kavana is critical. Go to a dinner. You know what the most important thing about a dinner is? You know, we tell you flood. You probably flooded with invitations to parlor meetings and dinners, and you all say to yourself, "What a waste of time! Isn't there a better way to do this?" Who knows? No one knows. Everyone's trying to figure out what's the better. But there's one thing about a dinner that is very, very valuable, and that is when you go to a dinner. Usually, can't say always, usually the institution tries so hard. They try so hard to present what they do. They really try to illustrate that we're really doing good. We're really, really accomplishing great things. Even if one person is nene, it's worth it all for this one person, this value. And when people come to the dinner and they see this, even though anyway I'm giving you a check, anyway you wrote out a check for $1,000, I have to come also. Please come, we need there to be people. Don't embarrass us, they're going to be people. We have to fill up the place. Thank you for your donation, but we need you to be there, not to be a busha. All right, I'll come. I'll sit there and waste the night and watch the show. But you know what happens when they come? It's a fact. If the institution is a real institution who knows what they're doing, they put on a good show. And when they put on a good show, that same fellow who already gave $1,000, the money was already given, he walks out of the dinner, you know, this institution, they really do something good. They really, I might not be 100% in line with the whole Hashkafa, but you know, there's value here. You know what that does? It means that the $1,000 that he already gave has now been injected with Vayorach Hashem Reach Nichoyach. That $1,000 that he already gave has turned into $1 million. And if the institution is foolish and they just chap the money and they put on a horrible show and you come to the dinner just to be present and you see what they do and you say, no, next year they're not getting any money from me. This place is nuts. Not only are they not getting $1,000 from you next year, the $1,000 that you already gave them, what do you say? What a waste of money. You just went down from $1,000 to zero. Because where's the reach nichoyach? Where is the potency in the donation? Eliezer has taught Klal Yisrael. He gave to Rivka, Beka Nezem. A nose ring. Children laugh when they read this passage. They don't know what's going on. Nose ring? What's going on? Nezen? Mishkol? Beka Mishkola. We need to know the weight. It's a nose ring. And then he gave her two bracelets. Asara Zahav Mishkola. The bracelets, it's two, go together. You need two hands together, dexterity. The luchos, which are connected, and there are 10 coins. Aseres Adibros Torah, Godol Limud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. I got it. Nobody gave her in advance the message. Rivka, you can have a Klal Yisrael. In Kemach, in Torah. Torah needs support. Torah, fortunately, it's hard. It's a struggle. But what's important about the donations that you're going to collect with the Beka Mishkola is, it should smell good. There should be a fragrance. When the people give the money, even a few dollars, it should be Vayorach Hashem Esreach Hanichoyach. It should have flavor, fragrance, kosher money. There should be satisfaction. It shouldn't be given under duress. It shouldn't be given with animosity. And it should be kosher money from kosher sources. That is where you'll get a bang for your buck, and it will lead to the blessing of the Shnei Tzimidin Al Yodeha, to the success of that luchos, the aseres adibros, which is kola within it, kola tarakula. The more you can succeed in the nezem, in the beka mishkolai, will be in the nezem with the reach nichoyach, the more siyato deshmaya you will ultimately receive down the line, 50 years from now. Look how many organizations do you go make calculations. Go back 50 years ago, 100 years ago, of organizations that were all the way on the top. Money wasn't a problem. And today, they're gone. No one even heard of them. And then years ago, there were organizations that were struggling on a shoestring to survive. And today, they're thriving. My high. Who knows? Only Hashem knows these cheshbonos. But it's not so far-fetched to believe that there's a lot more than just money. It's not just the numbers of zeros you have in your account. It's the kavana. It's the satisfaction that you and the Ribbono Shel Olam have where this money came from and where this money is going. That is an infinite degree of potency and fuel to propel your institution and your tzedakah to much, much greater success. Okay, let's go to a new idea.
You said about the Adayim, they worked according to the Shnei Kotavrit, according to the Torah, the earned money.
The
money came from kosher money.
Kosher money. The money, I mean, a little bit. That's a little bit different. Okay, it's true. Okay, let me tell you another vart, a short vart. We know that in the beginning of the story of Eliezer and Rivka, Eliezer meets with Besuel and with Lavan. And then at the end, Besuel mysteriously disappears. What happened to him? So, turns out that when Eliezer comes, they wanted to immediately poison him. They put on in front of him food, and the food was poisoned. The Malach comes, switches it, and the one that ate the poisonous portion was Besuel. He did not wake up the next day. The Malach switched it around. Okay, that's why he disappeared. Very shocking. You would think, there should be, somehow it's like quiet in the Pasuk. One of the big mysteries about the Parasha is, about this parasha. By the way, this was not the first time in Tanakh, it wasn't the last time in Tanakh that someone was poisoned. They tried to poison. Who is the most famous person that they tried, maybe the only other person that they tried to poison? Okay, very good. I didn't think of that. That's very good. That's a very good point. You're saying anything about that? Well, there's someone else that's very, very popular. Who?
Shimshon
Agibar?
Yeah,
maybe you're right. Okay, I didn't think about it either. Good. See, you told me that Yosef Mikulam. What else? I'm thinking about something else.
Paro?
What is it? They try to poison Paro?
Just a dream.
Huh? Yeah, we said in the dream they try to poison them?
No.
I'm not sure. The main person that there's almost a whole parak devoted to this is Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, the people to whom he gave Musa to, tried to assassinate him multiple times. One of them, they took him to the dungeon. He was supposed to die there until the Eved came and saved him. He goes to Elam Haba, that whole story. But one of the things that happened, which is not hidden at all in the Pesuk, we learn this in Yirmiyah, is they tried to poison him. They had him come, Yirmiyah, come sit down. And they put in front of him a portion of food. And in the food was poison. And the Ribbono Shel Olam himself came to Yirmiyah and said, Yirmiyah, don't eat the food. The food is poison. Yirmiyah was shocked. He could not believe for the life of him that these people would go so far. They knew they didn't like him. He knew they didn't want to renew his contract. They knew that, the bank didn't want to give him a mortgage. That he knew already. Ad kidei kach, you want to assassinate me? You put poison in my food? And Yirmiyah goes on a tirade to curse them. Mamish, the groisa klaus. It's mamish, not real. The psukim in Yirmiyah, we learn these psukim. What he says about these people, the chutzpah, you tried to poison me behind my back, and only because Hashem came to me and revealed to me that it's poisoned my food, I did not eat it, that's why I'm alive today. And he ripped, lashed into them with nuschois that only a Navi can say. Eliezer here, Chazal say, when did Eliezer know he was poisoned? So really, the Targum Yosef ben Uziel, fasting, I never do this, but the Targum Yosef ben Uziel says that he knew immediately that he was poisoned. How do we know that? He comes over here to the story, sits down, and they bring him out of a Torah Tzanara. Okay, they come out and they say, Vayavoh isha baisa, vayifatach hagemalim, vayitin tevin umispoil lagemalim, vaymalucha esraglav, vragli odish mashar ito, vayusom lefonov lechol, vayomer lochal, ad in dibarti divaroi vayomer daber. I'm not mistaken, Targum Yonatan Uziel is medayik that these words are really superfluous. Vayusom lefonov lechol. These words are telling us they put in front of him poison. Sam vayusom, very good sam. And the way the Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel, maybe I'm a little going off on a drush, if so, so be it. Right away he acknowledged, he recognized that the food in front of me is poison. So, all of a sudden, what would have been if Eliezer would have been Yirmiah? Okay? When Yirmiah realized that he was poisoned, he lost his cool. And he went into a tirade and he cursed him out. The shidduch would have been over right there on the spot. If Yirmiah was the one who Avraham Avinu sent to find a zivuk for his son Yitzhak, and he would have seen right in front of him that the food is poisoned, just like we read the psukim that he goes on a tirade and he goes berserk and he starts cursing and real curses. Then can you imagine? I come here, I see this girl, she appears to be the proper shidduch. Okay, let's close the deal, and then he discovers the food is poisoned. They want to kill him. No way in the world am I going to be mashanich this family with Avraham Avinu. I am out of here. I am gone. Oner eshkol umamre, here I come. Okay, Yishmael, Loit, he had a lot of stops, he had a whole itinerary. A lot of different places to visit to find the perfect shidduch. This shidduch is over. You want to kill me? And yet, what does he say? You know what? Vayomer, loy oichal. I ain't eating this stuff. Adam dibarti divoroi. I want to say something. Vayomer daber. Chazal asks, what is it necessary for the Torah to record the story twice? First, the Torah presents the story the way it happened. And then Eliezer, Nochamal, all the gory details, all over again. All the details. Not exactly the same, but pretty close. So Rashi says, Yofe sichoson shel avdei avos yoisa mitoirosan shel banim, the sicha, the common idle chatter of the avos, of the servants of the avos, is mochav before Hashem, then the Torah, the intricate details of the Torah of the children. So therefore, it was kedai to go through the story with all the details, because Hashem loves it, because Hashem is dealing with Avraham, Yitzchak, the Avos, and Hashem loves to go and repeat all the small little details. That's the pshutai shel mikra of Rashi. But al derech drush, this whole section was never ever meant to be said here. Not only was it not meant to be written, it was never meant to be said. Eliezer has no need to go and repeat the whole story. Forget about what the whole question is. Why did Torah have to go repeat the whole story? Better question, why did Eliezer have to go and review what happened? Eliezer says, I come here, it's a nice Yiddish maidel, it's a nice girl, she's pretty, she's rich, she's smart, not in that order, of course, smart, okay, first, she has all the good, it's a chesed. I want her as a sheikh. I have to go tell the Chad Gadia what happened over here. I come to the well and I'm a spalo and azoy and azoy and azoy. Who needs? They're not even interested. They're interested in hearing this whole story. Just, I see a nice girl. She everything stims. Like that's the word in Shaduchim, right? The yeshiva is the word. The yeshiva is the word. Everything stims. Everything fits. I want her. What's he making this speech? The question is not why did the Torah repeat the speech? Why did it even make the speech? And the answer is, you know something? I'm ready now to make a shidduch. And now you, Rishayim, you want to kill me? Want to kill me? All right. I'm not Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was here. You're lucky I'm not Yirmiyah. Because if Yirmiyah was here, he would curse you all out. He'd be finished. You'd be finished for good. You'd be toast. But you got lucky on both sides. I'm not Yirmiyah. I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. And let me give you some mussar. This whole speech here is not a speech of repeating the beautiful lullaby of what happened. How he went to the well, the romantic story of meeting this nice girl and she's so kind. And they walk off into the sunset. Everything is so fine. Hollywood. That's not what's happening over here. I come here to make a shidduch. I found my girl. We're done. We'll sign the deed. We're done. You want to kill me? Ooh. This is a new story here. You want to kill me? Let me give you people some mussar. This schmooze here is Eliezer at his best. Eliezer, the Eved Avram, at his best here. He's here as a Baal Musa. I wanna give you some Musa Yerushalayim. Let me explain to you who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Let me explain to you what it means Chesed, what it means Din, Mishpat, Hashkocha. There's a Din V'Cheshven. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me teach you about Yerushalayim, and then when you learn about Yerushalayim, let's see if you change your colors. If you can do teshuva, and we don't have time to go through it, but you have to go through the whole repetition and all of the nuances, all of the differences of expression, as Eliezer coming here to teach these lowlifes who try to kill him about the Ribbono Shel Olam, about Yirat Shamayim, Avraham Avinu, Ato Yodati Ki Yireh Elokim Ato. Din v'cheshven, hashkocha protis. Let me teach you about Judaism, and let's see. Maybe you can lift yourself up to be better people, and then we'll talk about the shidduch. Then we'll talk about the shidduch. And the end of the day, what's so interesting is, Besuel is not present. Besuel didn't make it through the speech, because Besuel was too far gone. The Musar had no impact on him. And therefore the Malach somehow arranged that he should be the one who mistakenly ate the food. But Lavan and Rivka and the other people, obviously the Musar of Eliezer did have enough of an impact for him to continue to negotiate and to deal with these people. It's an incredible lean with Musar. In the Eved Avraham, Yofes, you now get a whole new appreciation of Yofes Sicha Shom Avi Avos Yosem Mitoyrosan Shol Banim. I want to sell Derech Drush. From Yirmiyah, we learn a lot of Torah. There are a lot of halachos that are derived from Yirmiyah. But Yirmiyah did not have much patience. Okay, he didn't suffer fools lightly. You try to kill me, I'll kill you. Haba Lahargucha Hashkem Lahargai. All the Yishaya Tanakh, not everyone has such a nice temperament to deal with people who abuse you. Hafle v'fela, Avraham Avinu, the impact, the koyach of Avraham Avinu, what he had on his servant Eliezer, he elevated his servant Eliezer to such a madrega that he was such a Baal Musar, he was able to deal with this situation in a very responsible and dignified way, to use it as an opportunity to give mussar and to teach and to elevate people who are willing to be helped, to be listened, to become better people. Okay, we're running out of time. A quick one, so another very quick vart. Okay, wind down. By a wedding, we say Achaseinu at Heye Tihi L'Alfei Revava V'Yirar Zareich Ishar Seida. Who is the Mechaber? the mechaber of these holy words. Lavan ho'arami. Not Slavan. Lavan bikesh la'akor esakoil. Who? No one gets such a description. You don't say this about Haman. You don't say this about Lavan bikesh la'akor esakoil. And yet we give Lavan such kavod, and we say a pasuk that he said under the chuppah at this holiest moment in time. How you talking? We can do such a thing. What's the pshat? So the answer is that Lavan was at this moment in time was sincere. How do you know? Bilam, he said a lot more. I said a lot of stuff, Bilam. Chazal said all of his brachas turned into klalos. Only one thing, Ma'atoivu Lecha Yaakov, that was an exception to a degree. But how do you know Lavan? How do you know that Lavan was sincere? There's proof. Because what's the test of sincerity? If the bracha boomerangs on you yourself. He gave a bracha, At Tihi L'Alfei Revava. From whom did the Alfei Revava come from? At the end of the day, Lavan himself. This is his sister. This is not, what do I care about you? You're my sister. I have nothing to do with you, my sister. Brother and sister are completely two separate things. It's not, I get no credit, it's not mine. I have a sister. My sister is getting married. No, get married. Gay gesunde hate. Go marry who you want to go marry. I don't particularly like the one who you guy you're marrying. Okay, you know how many brothers run shuduchim? Okay, Meister Mechol Yom, I don't like who you're marrying. You want to go marry him? Gesundheit, go marry him. You want me to give you a bracha also? All right, I'll give you a bracha. The bracha was so sincere to his sister, she should be matzlich, because what happened? They had children. And who ended up marrying Yaakov? Lavan's own daughters. Some say Bil and Zilpah were also Lavan's daughters. So that means, when I gave you a bracha, my sister, we have nothing to do with. We're not connected. I mean, we're brothers and sisters, but it's not my zera. It's not my seed. It's not me. I give you a bracha. And through whom is your bracha fulfilled? Through my zera. You have children, and your children ended up marrying my children. And from them came Klal Yisrael, came the fulfillment. Achoseinu atihi la'alfei revava. Who did Lavan in essence bless?
Himself.
He blessed himself. Was that his kavana to bless yourself? Well, there's a rule. If your kavana is to bless yourself, the bracha doesn't work. All these people who give brachas, v'chein lamar, v'chein lamar, yitzadah, the people who give brachas, the only way to give you a bracha is you should say v'chein lamar. I'm giving you a bracha. No. Say v'chein lamar. Oh, you mean that the only reason why you gave me this bracha was because you were really blessing yourself? Sorry, buddy. That type of bracha doesn't work. Okay? If you only give a person a blessing because your primary kavana is that the guy should say v'chein lamar and you should also be blessed, then your bracha is worthless. You can't go bless yourself. You want to bless yourself? Go sit the whole day and bless yourself. Go bless yourself the whole day. So I'm giving you a bracha, so it's only for me. You say v'chein lamar. Don't go. You don't need me. Go talk to yourself. Go look in the mirror and talk to yourself. Obviously, when you give a bracha to someone else, if you also want to be blessed, you have to somehow, I don't know how you do this, you got to control your mind to such a degree where I don't want it. I'm not blessed. I don't care. I don't want it. I'm not interested. I want to bless you. I want you should have bracha. If you really give a person bracha with the utmost sincerity, that's when Hashem says, Hamivarech Nisparech. The fact that the bracha boomeranged on Lavan himself to the degree that the bracha was fulfilled 100% in Lavan Huarami, the grace of Lavan, Shabikesh L'Akar HaKol, we're not proud of Lavan. But in this respect, where can you find in Tanakh a bracha that was sincere as this bracha? Prove it. I don't want just words. Prove to me in Tanakh a bracha that was 100% sincere. This is it. Because the proof is in the pudding. The fact that it was fulfilled in love on himself shows, oh, by a chasina, that is what we want. We want sincerity. More than we want the words to be true. You know what you're really doing by Yechas when you give that bracha? You're saying, my bracha is sincere. Forget about the translation of the words. Who cares about the words? The bracha is sincere. That's the yikar. And the one that we can truly prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that was sincere was Lavan, because it was fulfilled through him. That's why it's the best thing you can possibly say. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom.